Hi, I'm Harriet Thomas. Welcome to There's a Walk for That. I'm not a doctor or a fitness expert, just someone who discovered a simple daily habit that transformed my health and my happiness. From easing stress to boosting your energy, there really is a walk for that. Each week, I explore the power of walking and share simple tips to help you make it part of your day. And I bring you our trail mix, three songs chosen by my guests to reflect their life and their passions. I've got something special for you too. My book, Walk Yourself Wonderful, is launching soon. If you're interested in discovering a powerful daily practice that works in harmony with your body's natural design to help you go from frazzled and fatigued to fit and full of joy, then find me on Facebook or Instagram at Feel Good Walk. Just DM me the word joy to join the waiting list and get the book before its official release at half price. So let's get on with the show. I'm talking to Community Project Development Manager Martin O'Donnell. We heard from him in the previous show when he told us how walking healed him after a traumatic accident and how he now uses walking in his role at Westminster City Council to help staff get to know the area and to build bonds between staff, residents and local businesses. Martin is also an official walking guide, and in this week's show he takes us for an amazing tour around the historic London area of Soho. Listen to the stories that are woven into the architecture and find out what John Snow discovered right here in the heart of Soho.
Where should we start? Let's go down Bateman, shall we?
So we're here in London's Dean Street.
Yeah.
What can you tell us about Dean Street?
Well, Dean Street was one of the first streets to be laid out. So if we head towards Soho Square, this street was very much about the film and music production, and just like Wardour Street. So in Wardour Street, yeah, you've got Hammer House still.
Oh, really?
Although Hammer Films has long gone from there.
But I see. So you've got Hammer House, where Hammer Films used to be.
Yes. Yeah, but made. The sign is still there as a remnant. So there's always these ephemeral fragments of past uses and history.
But it's so interesting
Soho.
Because, I mean, I've lived in London all my life and I've never noticed Hammer House or known that history, which is why it shows you how important it is, or how brilliant it is, to have a guide who knows the ins and outs and the stories of an area, of your city, that you think is your city, and yet there's so much you don't know.
Well, there is, and it, you know, even as a guide or someone who's studied this area for such a long time now, and I'm currently reading Thomas De Quincey, Diary of an Opium Eater, which was the first book that kind of laid out, I suppose he was the father of addiction kind of writing, you know, inspiring others to share their journey around addiction. And for a long period it was kind of the textbook on trying to understand what leads to addiction. So I'm enjoying reading that, and because again it ties to the streets, because in his semi-comatose state, he wandered around these streets in a daze in the middle of the night, in the 1820s, as his addiction developed, and he went through that stage of joy. And then through to, if we just walk over here, through the euphoric, and he felt like all his creative side was coming out. But unfortunately, the addiction, and he shares this in the book, his addiction caught up with him and he became all the negative sides of it, the paranoia, the depression, the kind of lethargy. All those things hit him after an initial 8 years. He was okay in that he was able to numb himself. It started because of a tooth problem, but then he lived above that.
No.
Yes. So he also lived in I think it's Luxborough Street, which was opposite the old Marylebone poorhouse. He also lived there, but he lived here as well.
So we're looking at a, what is that, Victorian?
Might be a little earlier, it's
a sort of terraced three-story terrace building. What street is this?
In Greek Street.
Greek Street, so heart of Soho.
He would have stumbled down and out along the streets in the 1820s. Pre-Victorian. And, meandered along here. So Greek Street is named after a Greek church that used to be in Soho. There used to be a Greek church, not here anymore. But as we head down Greek Street, we're coming up to Soho Square. And Soho Square features two churches that reflect the kind of the communities that came to Soho. So it was very much built and layered with communities from outside and from outside London, particularly. Other neighbourhoods can have more of a locals feel in terms of always being London.
Yeah.
But here it's always been very international. So we had the Huguenots who escaping persecution that settled here. At one point, some early diaries described. Some diaries described how the it was like French was the first language in Soho. Dr. Manette from Manette Street, this was renamed Manette Street. Dr. Manette was a character in A Tale of Two Cities, which is about London and France.
This is so interesting.
Or London and Paris.
So interesting in the context of current UK politics around immigration, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
When we think of how much of London is built on this beautiful mix mm-hmm. of people flowing through the streets and creating what we see today. Give me your hands, show me the door. I cannot stand to wait anymore. Somebody said, be what you be. We could be old and cold and dead on the sea. But I love you more than words can say. Well, I can't count the reasons I should stay. Give me some room.
At least it was here by the 88. You're listening to me, Harriet Thomas, on There's a Walk for That here on UK Health Radio. And today I'm talking to Martin O'Donnell, Community Project Development Manager and official walking tour guide for Westminster City Council. One of the things that I really love about walking with other people is how conversations meander from one subject to the next. And sometimes you discover the most interesting things about a person's history, like where they're born, what job their father did. What does this have to do with wandering around Soho? You're about to find out.
As we carry on to Soho Square, we'll see there's two churches built within a couple of years of each other. There's the 1891 is the French Protestant church. And then just along the same side of the street is the Catholic church, built a couple of years earlier. I always find that quite funny because, you know, the Protestant work ethic, but the Catholics got there first. But I might be biased because I was christened in St. Patrick's.
Were you really?
I was christened in St. Patrick's because my parents came from Ireland and my dad was a doorman at the Astoria.
No.
Which was in an alleyway down the side of St. Patrick's.
Wow.
So I was christened there and spent the first few years of my life here. So to come back and be working in this area again is really nice. A history that I'd never have appreciated when I was younger.
Well, I mean, I think the story, even so far, the stories you've been telling me and the history you've been telling me about these couple of streets that we've walked through, it's literally sending a shiver down my spine because it brings the streets alive. I mean, they're alive anyway. There's people everywhere doing their... it's a beautiful day. People are sitting in the park and people are rushing to work and, you know, everything's happening. But beneath what we see today, there's so many layers of stories, aren't there? And
there is. In every direction, there's something going on. And as I was mentioning back when we began, that here in Soho Square, there's a 300-person bomb air raid shelter, and we're hoping to open it up in September for open house. We've got to check in a couple of weeks whether it's safe enough and whether we can do it safely to let the public in.
So we've got all these people sort of in Soho Park, sitting on benches and listening to their tour guides. Little do they know that underneath their feet is a...
The station that makes you feel good.
What if your worst dreams aren't your enemy?
Falling, cheating, being chased, naked, drowning, losing teeth. What if I fail? What if something goes wrong?
I'm Teresa Chung, dream expert, best-selling author, and co-host of The Healing Power of Your Dreams. And in my latest title, Extreme Dreaming, I reveal a powerful truth. There are no bad dreams.
They feel so real, but that's so you remember them.
They're messages, signals, transformative gifts guiding you toward clarity.
Click on the Extreme Dreaming discount banner link on UK Health Radio homepage and learn to decode even your darkest dreams.
Extreme Dreaming.
Are you ready to listen?
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
Welcome back to There's a Walk for That with me, Harriet Thomas, here on UK Health Radio. And today I'm talking to the amazing Martin O'Donnell, who is taking me for a tour around Soho. And what I'm discovering is that although I've trained myself to notice things when I'm walking in nature, like colour and shape and movement, when I'm walking in the urban environment, I am missing so much.
This square was laid out in 1681. As you can see over there is a statue of Charles II. So it was originally called King's Square in his honour, because for the developer, you know, they were trying to make this super posh, like Covent Garden, Bloomsbury, Fitzrovia. This was on that kind of level, but then it took a little bit of a detour. So obviously,
didn't really come down on
with Charles II there, that was, you know, partly to honour the king. And these were all really grand houses. A lot of them were replaced or became run down over time. They're all, if they're not posh offices, then they're posh flats.
Well, that one over there, I see it's so the hospital for women.
For women, yeah.
Supported by voluntary contributions.
So a lot before the welfare state, a lot of services, and a lot of schools came out of church provision where they're trying to teach children to read the Bible. So they've got to teach them to read first. So. Yeah. You know, a lot of school provision came over there. And over here is a Grade 1 listed building. This is the House of Charity, also known as the House of St. Barnabas. So this was set up by a doctor, and it was to house women who'd been had a difficult time. And if we have a quick look here at the side. So until last year, it was run as the Social Enterprise Club for Creatives. All its profits or surpluses went to providing employment opportunities for formerly homeless people.
Wow.
Employment opportunities through catering and facilities management jobs. And if we just look, you can see a little plate there.
Oh, yes.
I don't know if you can see.
Yeah,
there's a little plate. And what this was when you were walking past, you see this House of Charity, and you could drop a few coins in. And so,
gosh,
you see it says House of Charity and Alms, and you can drop a coin, and it rolls down a pipe.
Oh, my gosh. So you've got a sort of this kind of black wrought iron, very traditional London-type wrought iron fence, and then in the fence you've got this white plaque saying House of Charity, Alms, with a little place where you can put your money in, and then it goes down what looks like a drain pipe or something.
It does.
Isn't that incredible?
Yeah. So this...
it's a bit like Oliver Twist or something. It sort of takes you back.
It is, and it's just there in plain sight.
This tune was composed by Spencer. As valiant a man as ever left home, he had been much reduced, which caused great confusion. And that was the reason he started to roam. Yorkshire near Rotherham, he had been on the ramble, weary of travelling, he sat down to rest by the foot of the old mountain. There's a cliff flowing fountain with bread and cold water he himself did refresh. With the night fast approaching to the woods he was altered, with the wooden mine and ivy his bed for to make. But he dreamt of outside lamenting and crying, go home to your family and rambling for sake. First he arrived home to his family and friends. They did stand so astounded, surprised and dumbfounded, to see such a stranger once more in their sight. The little rattling stories. You're the brittle rattling stories to drive care away. And he's as happy as those, as of thousands of riches. Content that he'll remain and not ramble away. By Spencer Rover, as valiant a man as ever left home. He had been much reduced and caused great confusion. That was the reason he started to roam.
John Martin with Spencer the Rover. My name is Harriet Thomas and this is There's a Walk for That here on UK Health Radio. And today I'm talking to Martin O'Donnell, Community Project Development Manager at Westminster City Council and official tour guide. Martin is taking us on a tour of Soho. Did you know there is a Hansel and Gretel cottage right in the middle of Soho Square, hiding under the huge London planes?
I feel like we could just spend an hour just in Soho Square. I mean, every single building is unique.
Mm-hmm.
You know, now that you've drawn my attention to it, I want to know what every single, you know, what's happening in every single building.
You don't need to look left here, because this is one way. The reason why this was, there was a lot of carriages pulling up here in previous times. So there was so many carriages, like, how do we get it? We have to make it one way. And so the carriages would pull up here outside St. Patrick's Church.
Right.
But it wasn't because there was a load of very rich Catholics in carriages coming. It was because on the site of where the St. Patrick's was the original party house, Teresa Cornelis' house, where she would have these tremendous masked balls, and you had a private membership, and they were completely raucous.
Really?
And on another house on the square was a brothel. So it quickly
Soho I always think is kind of a party place in London anyway.
Yeah.
So it's been a party place for hundreds of years.
For enjoyment and stimulation, you come to Soho. And, and exercise. Walking or other types.
Well, I mean, it's really interesting because just walking around these streets in Soho, and again, it's, you know, centre of London stuff, but it's, okay, it's a sunny day, but there's people walking and cycling. It feels very, there's not a lot of traffic. It feels very relaxed and pleasant, a nice place to walk.
And you'd be surprised. I mean, Friday would have been the biggest night. We're here on a Friday afternoon or Friday lunchtime. And it's not that busy. It's probably mostly tourists who are wandering around. Yeah. Maybe because Thursday's the new Friday for office workers.
I think what this is bringing home to me again, I mean, as someone who's lived in London all her life, is how every walk is like a new adventure, and you see something new and you understand something new about the place. And I think the sort of adventure of walking is what always keeps me coming back to it.
It's just completely layered. I mean, this mock Tudorbethan hut in here, this has got the spiral staircase that takes us down to the air raid bunker. There's one way is to get in through there, and there's another in the corner where you lift up a hatch.
So if anyone's come to Soho Square, I'm sure you would have noticed this strange building that is in the centre. What shape is it?
Yeah, it's kind of
octagonal. In a sort of,
I think it's mock Tudorbethan.
Yeah,
so I think it's been described as. It's got the element of a folly.
It looks like a folly,
but
doesn't it?
Yeah. I think it is also masked in an electricity substation. So, you know, the Victorians didn't really like. They could take a bit of grandeur covering kind of public infrastructure.
Yeah, good idea.
But it looks like you could play in there, it could be part of a children's playground.
It's a bit sort of Hansel and Gretel, isn't it?
It is, yeah, very much. Wouldn't it be great to have people's heads popping out and singing, you know, like... I might explore that.
With these huge trees.
I might
trees.
Explore that.
It's very, it's surprisingly magical, actually, this Soho Square. You know, it's... I mean, I think we're very lucky in London with the trees. You know, wherever you go, now that they've come out into leaf, I'm always looking up at these just magnificent trees.
And... In the House of St. Barnabas, it's a massive site, and there's a garden there and a sprawling, a chapel as well. And it's got the oldest mulberry tree in London in its back garden. So hopefully, when the new people open the new club, we'll be able to see that as well.
I'd like to see the oldest mulberry tree in London. Maybe even to eat some mulberries from the oldest mulberry tree in London.
Let's head back towards Dean Street and cut across.
It's lovely being in a big busy city, but just wandering, you know, just sort of wandering, not exactly aimlessly, but because quite often, you know, when one's in a city, you're going from A to B, and you might have a bit of a deadline or something, but just being able to come and wander. I'm still just amazed. So we are literally walking under a canopy of leaves that are from these magnificent London planes. How tall do you think they are?
Oh, I'm rubbish at that sort of thing.
100 foot? I mean, there is...
At least. These must be pretty darn old.
They must be ancient. And so you kind of got a slightly... This slightly jungle, woodland feel in the middle of London. It's wonderful.
Yeah. Now, have you ever gone to these little places and there's a little library in a phone box?
Like you can leave a book and take a book type thing. Yeah.
These phone boxes are not used now. We're developing some plans with our partners, the Soho Theatre, with the Museum of Soho that we've just been to. And the smallest gallery in Soho, I approached them and said, what will we do with this phone box? There's a scheme. So imagine you live somewhere and you see an old phone box and it's not being used anymore. You can actually buy them off BT for £1 and convert them.
No.
You can buy them and convert them. So libraries is a big thing. So I know in Pimlico, I'm helping someone turn one phone box into a children's library and another one into a cookbook library. And this one, we're hoping, if you imagine the Museum of Soho and the smallest gallery in Soho having a love child, it would be the smallest museum gallery in Soho, where they can advertise. He could have some items from that museum as a taster to what he's got down there.
That's such a lovely idea, because anyone who's come to London will know these iconic, well, to England, these iconic red telephone boxes.
But you imagine, as you walk about, becoming an activist in your neighbourhood, you see something, you could be walking the same route every day, and you say, that really annoys me, that is just, that bit of heritage is just left like that. What do we do with that?
So people are walking around their local neighbourhood, for example, and they see something like a phone box or just something, as you said, that's irritated them, who do they go to? Do they go to the council? Where do they go to?
I think a council would be a good starting place. But if you start lobbying for something, I think, personally, I'm sure other councils are like Westminster City Council that I work for, whereas we really welcome local people taking initiative, because don't forget, the museum and the gallery will need to look after the phone box afterwards. They're the ones who are going to upkeep it and change the exhibitions that go in there.
So it's a win-win, really.
So it's a complete win.
That's
beautiful. And anyone who wants to take community action in something just off their own bat is just a really positive thing.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
What if your healing journey could feel empowering, hopeful, even transformative? Welcome to the Alkaline Collective Mastermind, a community for anyone facing cancer, staying cancer-free, or committed to prevention. No matter your stage, whether you've chosen conventional care, an integrative path, or a fully holistic approach, here, you're not alone. Here, your healing journey becomes a journey of empowerment. We explore the science of oxygenation, metabolism, and alkalinity, while strengthening your emotional, spiritual, and physical well-being. This is a mastermind with heart, accountability, connection, wisdom, and real support. Because your journey isn't just about surviving. It's about thriving. Join us by clicking on the Alkaline Collective Mastermind banner on the UK Health Radio homepage or directly at alkaline-collective.com, where self-belief grows, healing deepens, and transformation begins.
Somewhere on Earth, there are 4 acres that belong to you. You don't need to be there in person, only there in purpose, protecting it, defending it, keeping it alive. Because the world doesn't need more good intentions. It needs more meaningful actions. Register your interest at 4acresearth.com.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
Welcome back. This is Harriet Thomas with There's a Walk for That here on UK Health Radio. And today I'm talking to Martin O'Donnell, Community Project Development Manager at Westminster City Council. And we are taking a walk around Soho. In this next section, Martin tells us how walking around your local neighbourhood can inspire community activism and how walking intersects with art, culture and politics.
So for me, a lot of arts and culture can be supported by a council. It doesn't mean that we're delivering everything. I happen to have an interest, because I trained as a tour guide for part of my own journey, and that's just an incidental, but it obviously gave me more insights than most officers with regard to walking. But we've got lots of walks delivered by professionals in August for Inside Out. It's a big Westminster festival of celebrating outdoor culture, and lots of events in September for Open House, where we'll have about 30 walks. And these are driven by people who want to show their neighbourhood, have got a particular pride about someone's individual contribution. So a William Blake tour, no one's doing My Friend, The Diary of an Opium Eater, Thomas De Quincey walk, but
that one's open for
there's
you.
There's 3 locations there for us to explore. But you see, it's that individual passion from local residents. Wanting to tell the story. Why are these here?
And what I like about that is so often we get that sense of resignation with what's happening in our country or our city or our world. But what you're saying is that individuals can just make this contribution following their passions.
You know, you could say interfering in things and saying, well, why is that like that? Why is that always got graffiti on it?
Right.
Or why, you know...
But we should be interfering.
We should be as part of our kind of, like, interest in the neighbourhood.
I think it's interesting what the sort of dual impact of mechanised travel, if you like, cars and tubes and automation and computers, what that has done to sort of divide us from each other, but also from where we live. And I think when you start walking in the streets, you start getting that connection again. I mean, people talk about connection with nature, but I think a connection with an urban space is just as relevant. And
well, I think it is. And, you know, you enjoy what's there on your doorstep. It's your neighbourhood, whether you're there temporarily or for a longer period of time. So, I mean, this street, this used to be a hat maker's. I was looking for some individual bit of work that might indicate.
I can see it looks like
can you see any hats?
Can I see any hats? So I'm looking at a 1, 2, 3, 4. Wow! I'm looking up now, and there's a roof garden up there.
Yeah, but, it does. But I don't think that was there when it was.
Don't think that was there. But but it looks like a warehouse. So you've got these massive windows where the light comes in. These huge arch doors, 3 in a row, and you can imagine women, I suppose, or men,
yes,
sort of thronging through the doors and sitting up there in their little tables, working away.
And just down that little alleyway is the Hatter Pub. So after a thirsty day of stitching the hats together.
Right. Sade with Paradise. Welcome back to There's a Walk for That with me, Harriet Thomas, here on UK Health Radio. And today I'm talking to the wonderful Martin O'Donnell, who is Community Development Project Manager at Westminster City Council and the most amazing walking tour guide. Follow our journey as we enter Berwick Street.
So this is Berwick Street. This is the final mile, the golden mile of Arnold. So this became popular in the 80s and 90s and the Britpop thing. And just here, you see where that 20 mile an hour is?
Yeah.
There's the album cover for What's the Story, Morning Glory by Oasis. This area, Berwick Street in particular, had so many record shops, and some of the famous ones still remain, like Sister Ray here. There's been a market on Berwick Street since the 1700s. And I think it started it seems to have been a trend in London, that the shops would put some of their wares to attract punters in the door, because sometimes people found, especially women on their own, like, it's a bit aggressive, these shopkeepers, trying to sell stuff.
Oh, really?
And they would bring the stuff out. So when someone starts probing the goods in front of the shop, and that then evolved into a market.
Oh,
so even though it's quite narrow, And you've got all the shops on the ground floor there. You've got stalls running through. There's a fruit and veg stall at the end, but the majority of stalls here are food stalls. And I think that kind of caters more to the office and tourist market.
Yeah.
I mean, they're thriving, but it's different from the market that we might have experienced as when we were younger.
Yes.
There's old Carol there. You've got your Westminster Council ID. She gives you an extra spring roll.
Oh, really?
Very kind of her. Very nice.
It's great, isn't it? You know, so we've got these market stalls down the middle of the street, kind of cobbled street, and then this skyscraper, would you call it? I mean, this block of flats.
Yeah, so that 1960s block of flats.
1960s block of flats, and then these Victorian shop fronts.
So market tends to be a little lively. So I think they reckon here was the first place where we sold olive oil that wasn't for clearing your ears out of wax.
Really?
And there was a few other products that were apparently bought at this market that were the first known occasions of that. So we're just approaching now. We're walking down to the end of Berwick Street Market, and we're approaching Walker's Court. Yeah. Walker's Court is from probably the most seediest time in Soho's history. You know, in the 60s and 70s, it seemed like there was a bit of a roller coaster, a cat and mouse game between the sex industry and the council.
That's what I remember.
And the council sort of seeming unable to regulate or control it. I think it's just naturally slipped away as the silversmiths and goldsmiths have slipped away from Soho. So, Jon Snow. Do you know Jon Snow?
Jon Snow.
Doesn't he read the news?
But is that
on Channel 4
Snow?
News? No.
No.
Ain't going to name a pub after him. So, Jon Snow was a GP in this area. And in the 1840s, he realised something pretty amazing. Because cholera was everywhere.
Was he the waterman?
He was the waterman.
No.
So John Snow was the GP here, and he realised that the fellas working in the brewery, none of them got cholera. And he wondered why this was. He realised that they're all drinking this light beer that they make. They used to make beer in a day, and it'd be like 1 or 2%. Not beer like now. So you got free beer at work. So all the men working in the brewery weren't getting cholera, and so he realised that it was waterborne rather than airborne, and he famously came along here, and there's a tap here outside the pub, and this was the water pump for the area.
No, I can't believe this.
He took the pump off, so nobody, and he wanted to see how cholera stops spreading. Now they can't get water out of this. Cholera's coming up from this.
So we're actually looking at a water pump, and it's sort of set in a plinth outside this pub called Jon Snow. This is where Jon Snow kind of experimented to discover that cholera was waterborne, not airborne.
This is a replica. The original is in the School of Tropical Medicine. And I think every year there's a ceremony where they kind of put the handle back on the pump. It was such an important discovery.
I wonder how you would compare the discovery that cholera is waterborne to, and the changes that made to life, to AI. Do you know what I mean?
Well, you know, we have been promised that AI is going to bring us these wonderful discoveries, and no doubt it will find links and things that might just be hidden in the data that we just wouldn't have thought of ourselves. Yeah. So we're gonna finish. We're just at the corner of Carnaby Street. So William Blake, as that joke about John Lennon Airport goes, you know, who's going to name him after a block of flats? So William Blake House here. So William Blake was another dreamer, like Thomas de Quincey.
This is called William Blake, this horrible...
Yeah.
So there's a big... It's basically a big brown block of flats, which couldn't be more from the lyricism of William Blake. But maybe I'm being judgmental there.
So you've got the little plaque for him there.
Oh, yes. Oh, he was born on a house which stood on this site. William Blake was born here.
So he was famous for Jerusalem.
Tiger, burning bright. Was that William Blake?
You know, yeah. He believed his brother, his dead brother, would come to him and talk to him. He'd see angels in trees. Whether he had some condition or what that gave him these visions and kind of distortions of reality. That also fits in with the Soho theme and our pal Thomas De Quincey at the beginning.
But also, we don't know what reality is, do we? It's just an interpretation.
Maybe he
was just more attuned to something that we don't normally see when we're in our hustle and bustle, you know?
Yeah.
So I like to think there are angels in the trees.
It would be handy. I wish they'd intervene a bit more often. But there's some people who are interested in bringing more attention to William Blake, and I'm very happy that they'll be working with us going forward.
That's fantastic.
So watch this space to hear more.
Thank you so much, Martin O'Donnell, for that wonderful tour of Soho. And I hope you'll agree that walking in the city is just as interesting as walking in nature. In the next show, walking and singing. Until then, happy walking.